up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company, the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, July 30th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
I mean, Jason's right. Summer's basically over. We're on the cusp of August.
Okay.
I mean, of course. It's over. It's over, Johnny.
Jason Bishop is here.
When I'm getting ready to go seepy-seepy tonight, Mr. Flame will be hopping on a plane.
That's right.
With his entire family going to Switz.
Mm-hmm.
Not my entire family. Kelsey is flying from L.A. She'll be meeting us in Switzerland.
All right, most of the family, then.
We have a little awkward time where I think she's going to land 3 or almost 4 hours after us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get the rental car, and then we'll figure out something to do.
Maybe hit Zurich.
Downtown Zurich for a little bit, and then come back and scoop her up.
On
or we'll stay at the airport.
Switz.
I just can't imagine how long that flight is. Because, I just came back from a Vegas flight, and that seems interminable.
I was going to guess 8. Yeah.
8 hours and 5 minutes.
Do they have any special accommodations?
Is it
basically regular?
Regular flight, I believe.
Regular flight with the peons.
Yeah.
He's not going business class,
baby.
Why do you still know those you know overseas flights? Are they all like that?
Well, with like those pods that you see where you can go to sleep.
I know when my buddy goes, he gets a lot of extra space. He says it's worth it. He spends whatever it is.
No,
he's not doing that.
Yeah. No, I think too one of the things like Kelsey booked all the travel, but one of the things is they charge $150 per checked bag.
Ooh, that is steep.
Urgency to try and convert your stuff into carry-ons.
Man, $150 per checked bag is that is a lot.
Now, for some reason, Jess gets her bag for free. She can check her bag for free, but I think that's because we got a refundable ticket for hers because she had a lot of job stuff going on, and there was a possibility where we would have to switch her flight.
Mm.
But I went all in and did non-refundable. It's like, what are the chances I'm going to change plans? And that's what whored me.
Gotcha.
You got to stay stay away from the non-refundable because just things come up.
Right.
You just got to stay away from it and just suck up the extra 30, 40 bucks every time.
Oh, I think it was significantly more.
Was it?
Yeah.
Just got to suck it up.
But it should be good. We leave at 8:45.
Wow.
And then land there 10:02 that time.
My daughter, just flew back from San Francisco. She went to a quick, 48-hour thing where she went to a wedding. And I was like, well, what are they even doing now on, these 6-hour flights as far as food? And she goes, they basically just gave her, pretzels twice. You know what I mean? It's like nothing.
My food offerings on my Southwest flight to and from Vegas, the world's smallest little bag of seasoned pretzels, a ripoff of Dots pretzels. But the package is this big.
Yeah.
And a 2-pack of Oreos. It's not bad, but it's not a lot.
It's crazy.
I'm
old enough to remember when we would actually get what you would call almost a little mini TV dinner.
I can't remember, but you would
get one. It'd be a tray, and you'd have maybe a Salisbury steak and some mashed potatoes.
I
don't remember those at all.
I used to fly all the time when I was a kid. And, I traveled a lot.
What was that, 20 years ago?
And 20 years ago. We would go to Puerto Rico
probably
most summers, Eastern Airlines. And they used to have those TV dinner trays. And I remember they used to have almost either peach cobbler. Yeah. They would have a little dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe blueberry pie. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It was really, really good.
We're washed when we're talking about defunct airlines.
Yeah.
Like airlines that haven't been around for 25 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
TWA, Eastern Airlines, Continental Airlines.
That's how old we are, bro.
I got one of those meals last year.
Oh, you did?
You could order it.
Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, no.
They helped you. They gave everybody on the plane.
That makes sense.
You're right.
Because when I
flew to, you'll get that.
Yeah.
When you fly overseas, you get that.
He'll eat tonight for sure.
I bet your meal was nubs.
No, it was actually silly.
It was actually pretty good?
I remember
really
thinking it was pretty good for airplane food.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I could see it. Yeah, I like, they actually give you, I forget the brand, I always think to remember it when I get home so I can order them. Those little seasoned pretzel thingies, whatever they are, they're very good. Do you know the brand that you're talking about?
Dots pretzels?
I don't know that it's Dots.
Or you might be thinking of
something else. It's like, they're like very seasoned.
Like voodoo pretzels? Those are good too.
I feel like it's pretzels and maybe something else in there. Like a but they're
snack mix. I think I know what you're talking about. It's got like the little chips, almost like pumpernickel chips. Gardettos.
I think. Let me look it up. Maybe whatever it is.
It all
very
sounds.
Seasoned.
Talking about my bar.
Those are among my favorite chips in the
they're
world.
They're so good.
They're very good. Whatever they are, and
I think I nailed it. I think I got
Gardettos.
It.
Gardettos.
I'm pretty elite when it comes to snack foods.
They're like Chex Mix on steroids.
Yeah, they're so good.
Maybe.
You are good when it comes to snack
Yeah,
food.
Yeah, pretty good.
So the other day,
you know your snacks.
I know some salty snacks.
So the other day we were talking about Marcus Morris, whose brother Markeith played here in Washington. The Morris twins have bounced around on probably 10 teams each in the NBA. And we wondered why Marcus Morris would get arrested for bouncing a check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, more details have come out. Apparently he wrote a $115,000 check to the MGM Grand back in May of 2024. That bounced. Then he did the same thing at the Wynn for $150,000 a month later.
Lose a lot of money at blackjack.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So that's $265,000 right there.
Mm.
Per DraftKings, a casino marker, I guess they gave a casino marker a short-term interest-free line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they love to do that, by the way, because they know you're going to get felted.
He just racked up big-time debt.
And he was, remind me, he was arrested at the airport in Florida, correct?
Yes.
He was in Florida. Mm-hmm. Was he getting off of the plane? Coming back from
remember.
Vegas? Drabby, do you know that? Oh. He's not there.
I just find it weird that I think Marcus Morris has made like over $100 million in his NBA career. Markeith's made like 53.
Mm.
Like, his brother's earnings are half of his earnings.
Wasn't Marcus maybe a little more offensive than Markeith?
Probably.
They were very similar. If you put up their statistics, I think they're within a point or two.
Well, they are identical twins.
Yeah.
Cakes, the one I was talking about, not that anybody cares. Mm-hmm. I know no one does. The Stellar. Maui Monk.
Those are the ones that they gave me on the Southwest flight.
Aren't they delicious?
They were very good,
I need to order some of these. Anyway, carry on.
Markeith Morris had tweeted, "The wording is crazy. Damn, for that amount of money, they'll embarrass you in the airport with your family. They got y'all really thinking bro did some fraud. They could have come to the crib for that."
Well, he did
that
do some
fraud. Originally when somebody had tweeted that they could arrest you for over $1,200.
Yeah.
I just
isn't that fraud?
I think it's fraud.
You write a $100,000 check and it bounces. That's fraud.
Doesn't the casino have like?
I don't know how that works.
Ways to figure out whether checks are good or not, like instantly.
maybe they just assume and
Marcus Morris just gonna come and stroke a check for $150. They're gonna be like, okay, this looks good.
Well, I assume he's been there before and he's probably given them checks before.
Okay, that could be it.
I can't imagine that's the first check he's ever written.
Did he resolve it, though? Like, was it such a deal? Okay, he wrote these bad checks, but did he resolve it?
Not that I know of, so at least right now.
He still owes the money.
The judge denied motion to set bond, saying that she did not have the jurisdiction to make such a ruling
for
out of state.
He stated that he's currently in the process of paying off his debts in Nevada.
Right.
In the process. That's very nebulous.
Right.
Mm.
I refuse to believe that this is the one that made $50 million,
or
this one that made $100
million.
I refuse to believe that he's bust, though. I'm sorry. I know some have gone through it.
Oh, I don't refuse to believe it. I think it's very viable that he could just be felt.
I refuse to believe
and
that.
And has spent all of his
money.
What
if he gambles like that all the time?
Yeah,
okay.
Your problem.
I just refuse to believe that he's spent $100 million. Maybe he's cash poor. I can relate to that. But I refuse to believe that he's absolutely
bust. Well, remember,
when
you make $100 million, you don't get $100 million. You get taxed on it.
No, I'm aware of how life works.
All right, so you're not getting $100
million. Yeah, I know, but still.
I think it's
about half of that.
Believable.
That's still, that's a big difference.
I think it's very believable he is the mayor of Felt Street.
I find that impossible to believe. He may have a bunch of money tied up in other investments, and it's not easy to get
maybe,
hold of it.
Maybe.
I refuse to believe that he's literally got lint in his pockets.
I'm going to guess his balance sheet isn't as silly as you might think it is.
it should be better than all of us combined.
Oh, I agree. That's like, if you're smart with your money.
Like, even if he's...
And if you don't have a massive gambling problem.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, if you're taking out 150K markers at a casino, you're not playing 2-5 no limit hold'em poker. You're probably betting $500 a hand of blackjack.
If he's made $50 million and then decent investments.
He might not have.
So Marcus
could be felt it.
In his career has averaged 12 points per game and 4.4 rebounds. Markeith has averaged 10 points per game and 5 rebounds.
So they are very similar.
Yeah.
And their paychecks haven't been similar.
Right.
Well, Markeith might want to get a better agent.
Ask your brother for a loan. Get that taken care of, because that is embarrassing.
Very embarrassing.
Regardless.
But again, he's probably done that before and written them big checks. That's why they didn't verify those checks. That's what I'm guessing.
I'm guessing, too. All right, we got a big show. 100
grand is ridiculous.
We do. Dan Quinn's going to join us at 8 o'clock, head coach of your Washington Commanders.
Very good.
So that's huge. We've had Coach Quinn on before, but Coach Quinn will join us at 8 o'clock. Also, Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post will talk about Mackenzie Gore. Will the Nationals trade him or hold on to him? What is their strategy here for the coming seasons with DeBartolo in charge? Barry Zwerluga joins us at 9, but Coach Quinn at 8 o'clock. Don't want to miss that. Here on the Junkies. So we got Coach Quinn joining us coming up at 8 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. I was just looking at our poll from yesterday, which was, when do you predict Terry McLaurin will reach his new deal?
Mm-hmm.
EB, they're siding with you. We'll
not
play without a deal.
Yeah.
That's right. Really? I don't see it. I don't see the gap's too great. I mean, I was stunned yesterday when Trey Hendrickson announced that it makes sense you don't want to be fined, but he has taken such a hard line. Like, I'm in Florida, F the team, F everybody, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll report.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, these guys know they don't want to lose all this money.
Yeah. He wants to make his $16 million.
And you want to be paid what you're worth, but you also want to make the millions they're willing to give you. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, he did an about face.
He did an about face like a mug.
And Terry's already done the about face. Now, the fans are behind him. You see that he's beloved, but... We'll see when he starts practicing. If he doesn't, when do you think he would start practicing if he doesn't reach
a new
deal?
Maybe after the first preseason game? I think it
might be after the last one. There's 2 weeks between preseason game.
Look, he's going to want to put good film out there. He's going to want to do it. He's not going to want to do anything that's going to potentially put him behind the eight ball.
I think 2 weeks he's fine.
Maybe. I don't know.
He started last season slow. Look at his first two games.
So was that because of him?
I'm sure it's not all on him. I'm sure it was part of Jaden Daniels getting assimilated to the offense and getting his legs under him. But
first game, they were uber conservative.
You think he's not going to start slow if he misses the bulk of training camp?
I don't know.
I would guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't be
shocked if he did.
I would think he would want to get in there for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think he's going to want a preseason game, get a few reps. Yeah.
Anyway, you can vote at Junks Radio on our poll from yesterday where we were kind of predicting, is he going to come back before the preseason, during the preseason, after the preseason, or in the regular season, he's just going to play without a deal?
I thought that he would have been signed, sealed, and delivered prior to training camp. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's dragged out as long as it has.
You know, listen, obviously, it's kind of my morning routine. I give Kime a plug. I was listening to his pod and driving, and he was like, listen, beyond just the team wanting to be fiscally responsible, you know, which you understand. They also, I mean, like when you get into the specifics of it, next year you're going to have a very similar situation with guys like Laremy Tunsil, Marshawn Lattimore. Mm-hmm. I mean, he reeled off like 4 guys that you presumably are going to want on your football team. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the exact situation where they're going to be entering their last year. They're all going to be looking for new deals.
That's where Peter's going to have to make tough decisions.
I mean, you think this year's a nightmare? Wait until next year.
Wait until
you have Tunsil, Lattimore. I can't remember the other 2-3 guys.
And it's not like they traded 6 rounders to get those guys. They traded a lot of high picks to get those two guys.
They want them long term in a perfect world.
Yeah.
So, you know...
When you have a good roster, you're going to have to make hard decisions.
Yeah. It's the first time we've had a good roster in a long time. That's for sure.
And you expect it to get better year in, year out. And you're going to have to make hard decisions because teams out there that are void of talent are going to try and scoop up your players when they hit the free agent market.
They're
going to
come poach them.
Well, yeah, you might just, yeah. I mean, you know, might not be able to give all these guys new deals.
You can't give every single player an extension or rework their contract or re-sign them. You're going to have to let players walk. Sometimes they become fan favorites. I'm not saying Terry's going to walk. I'm just saying,
yeah,
those are the decisions that are going to have to happen when your team becomes good.
I wish I could remember the other two guys. He reeled off like four names this morning, and I'm like, wow, that it. We think this year's a nightmare. Wait till next year.
Right, I wonder who that is. Let's see.
You'd have to
look. Debo's going to be up.
Yeah, I think maybe.
Well, Debo, that's probably one.
Laramie, yeah. Lattimore. There might have been a fourth.
All the guys they acquired.
Bobby Wagner, because he's on a one-year deal.
Ertz is on a one-year deal.
You're going to have a discussion about Luvu doing the same, because it wasn't his only like a two-year contract or
three-year deal. Two- or three-year deal. I can double-check that.
Wagner and Ertz, I mean, those guys are the tail end. Yeah. I'm not even expecting.
Yeah, but if Wagner duplicates the season that he had this year, you're going to want to re-sign him again.
Yeah, you just keep it going.
I guess I can't fathom it.
It's crazy.
He's not getting paid huge dollars.
No, yeah, but yeah.
Wagner?
Yes,
yeah, wasn't
it like $8.5-9 million?
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
like,
isn't it? I thought it was like $10 million or $12 million.
I thought it was maybe $10 million.
I think it's with incentives, it can be up to $10 million.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what happens. You got the old roster, man.
Yep. Either way,
you're gonna have to make decisions next year.
It's gonna be a mess.
His 2025 cap hit is $9 million. Bobby Wagner.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page. Bish Bucks,
driven by my favorite team, the all new Malloy Chevrolet of Alexandria. They got huge summer incentives. It means lower prices on your favorite models. Head on over. Ask for my buddy Josh Cochran. Tell them I sent you in. Make it Malloy, Malloy.com. This copy says spring incentives.
Yeah, right? Not spring.
I don't know what people are doing.
Summer/fall.
Yeah, they've got to change this. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm brilliant, and I change it.
On the fly. Well done.
So I go summer from spring like that. It doesn't feel like spring out.
I've stepped on landmines with some of the reads over the years. You gotta have your head on a swivel.
You have to be ready to pivot.
Yep.
When Jason's not here and I have to do the golf to him, I got to be locked in, because right off the bat it says Bish here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Boy, Bish.
Yeah. You got to. You got to personalize.
I got to be locked in.
I understand.
All right. Yeah. Got to be quick on the adjustments. All right. So we talked about it. Trey Hendrickson is going to report to training camp today, ending his holdout over a contract dispute, despite not being any closer to a new deal, according to multiple reports. He's reporting to camp. He's going to serve as a good faith gesture towards getting the deal done. He's making about $16 million this year, but he wants to take that next step and get like a Max Crosby, Miles Garrett type of deal, which is in the mid-30s to $40 million. T.J. Watt just got $41 million a year. Hmm. All got new deals. But Henderson said, F it. Don't want to get fined anymore. Got to get in there. Going to play it out, and let's see what happens.
He's going to try to get a deal from that old codger, Mike Brown.
So there's no indication that they're any closer. He just wanted to avoid the fines.
That's what it sounds like.
Doesn't sound like they're any closer.
Yeah.
I mean, 50K per day adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Especially, like in the old days, you could just, like, the team would be like, it's all good. We signed the deal. We're forgiving you the fines. Now you got to pay them.
Yeah.
You got to pay those fines.
Yeah. So he is back. Trey Lance is going to start for the Chargers.
Yeah, let's go. That's my guy.
For the Chargers at the Hall of Fame game, which is this week.
It is this week.
Well, they're not going to roll out Herbert.
No.
Actually, might be next week.
Is he going to be battling for the number two spot, or is he the number two guy?
Is Taylor Heinicke still there?
I think Heinicke is.
I think he still is.
He's battling with Taylor Heinicke.
That's a pretty good triumvirate, though, right? If you wanted to keep three, that'd be a pretty good threesome.
Yeah. So that game is tomorrow, correct?
Thursday, July 31st, 8 p.m.
Yeah, okay, so that's tomorrow.
We're going to have real football. Well,
kicking
we're
going
to have football back. I was about to say real football.
They also have as their fourth quarterback the off-traveled quarterback in college football, DJ Ogulele. However you pronounce his name.
That guy stinks.
Butchered his last
name. Yeah. I don't exactly know how.
I think it's pronounced Ungulay.
Yeah.
Ungulay.
I think there's an N in there.
He sucks. And if he ever plays, your team's in really bad shape. I know.
He played with 100 different colleges. But Trey Lance will start to kick off the NFL preseason tomorrow.
Nice.
I was shocked he was even on a roster. I was surprised when I learned yesterday that he's battling for the number two spot in L.A.
Signed a one-year deal, $6 million.
He's still young. He's 25.
I know.
Who are you talking about, Trey Lance?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too much talent there to just completely throw him to the wolves. Like, you know, throw him to the side. Like, you know.
That's another guy that Drab should refer to his pal Dr. Burka. Definitely needs some work up front with the hair up front.
Oh, is he losing
and
it?
And he's young enough where he could, you know, like, make it happen.
Right.
Hollywood Brown of the Chiefs suffered an injury during yesterday's camp. He was carted off the field.
Ooh, that's bad. That sounds like season ender.
Came up limping in the back of the end zone after a play, injuring what looked to be like his lower right leg.
Looks like an ankle injury.
Is an ankle?
Yep.
Okay, so he was carted off, so that's not good.
But Reed said, I don't think it's too bad, but we'll see. Yeah. That's Andy Reid's quote.
Okay.
Man, there was a lot of injuries the last 6-7 days.
Hollywood Brown's supposed to be their number two receiver, right? Worthy and Brown?
I think Worthy's kind of ascending to the number two spot behind Rasheed Rice.
I mean, Rasheed Rice
is the alpha in that room. Yeah. But the problem is he could be facing a suspension due to that driving incident and arrest. So we'll have to see how the league handles him.
I'll tell you what, I've been watching NFL Network every day inside training camp.
Okay.
Now, they run a lot of the same video
over and over
because the camps are all in the morning. Mm-hmm. And in the afternoon, you're seeing a lot of the same video.
Something catch your eye?
No, it's just interesting to see, you know, them finally practicing.
Yeah.
We waited so long for practice to start. But then, you know, the interviews are all kind of goofy and awkward. And but Baldy, our boy, he's been bouncing all over the place. He was here. Then I think he jetted up to Baltimore.
I saw his itinerary a few days ago.
Then he went
to
Cleveland. I think he was in Cleveland yesterday. I'm not sure how many camps he's going to hit. But
I think it's like a dozen or so, maybe more.
Yeah. Sweat bullets.
I'm sure.
That guy, man, he's they're just sitting outside there for hours, just sweating.
He's doing 13 teams in 15 days. Wow. He's freaking grinding.
That is a grind. That is a grind.
Good for him.
Hey, the Nats lost last night. Lost to the Astros 7-4.
So the 3-game heater is done.
Yep. I had a considerable amount of money on the Astros.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. By the way, I had a Nats family celebrity sighting last night in the O Town.
Oh, really? Who's that?
I did. Kenny Wood.
Oh, you saw Kenny James'
Wood
dad.
When Amy and I were walking Winnie back towards home. He pulled over.
Nice.
We talked for 2 or 3 minutes on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
So it's good.
Very nice.
Good to see him in the O-Town.
I think James got a hit last night.
Yeah. Tell him no more home run contests.
Yeah. 1-for-5. CJ Abrams, he's had a really good month. Had 3 hits last night. But James Wood, if you look at his game log for the month of July, now he's hitting .263 for the year. Okay, you'll take that for, you know, second-year player, especially with the power. But for the month of July, he's 15-for-81. That would be .185.
Mm-hmm.
37 strikeouts in the 81 at-bats. So he's had a tough month. Tough month of July, man.
I mean, and it started even before the All-Star break, right?
Month of July it started. Yeah, early. Now, he went 5-for-5 on July 3rd. Remember that game? He went 5-for-5. His average was up to .294.
Mm-hmm.
So his average has dipped about 30 points in the month, or, you know, since the early parts of July. You know, I mean, that's look, I know every guy goes through it, but those are kind of stunning numbers. Hey, the Baltimore Orioles have scored 30 runs so far in the 3 games they played against Toronto. Toronto came into this series kind of on a heater. They had won probably 10 of 12. But they ran into a hot lineup for the Orioles. The Orioles had a doubleheader yesterday against Toronto, scored 16 in the first game.
Wow.
16-4, had 19 hits.
Wow.
Won the second game 3-2. In the middle of the 2 games, they traded Sir Anthony Dominguez, who was a reliever for the Orioles,
yeah,
to the Blue Jays And then he pitched for the Blue Jays in the second game.
That's hilarious.
That's wild.
So that's a
He was in an Oriole uniform for the first game.
Yeah.
They called him over. They said, "We just traded you to Toronto. Go to the other dugout.
Right, go put on a different uniform."
He changes his unis, and then he pitches in an inning for Toronto.
Was this also the same game? Did I see an Orioles batter strike out on a 35-mile-an-hour pitch? That's embarrassing.
That must have been the first game.
Was it an Ephus pitch?
It was a moon ball.
Yeah. Yeah, they brought in a position player because they're down by like a billion bottom of the eighth.
They brought in a catcher, Ali Sanchez.
It looked like 90% of the DJs in the HFS softball league striking out.
I think the pitch
was embarrassing.
I think Kevin Brown said the pitch was clocked at 32 or 34 miles
an hour.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. I'll never forget, we talked about it a million times, but Bryce Harper was walking around D.C. and he saw a softball game and he was like whiffing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're literally just throwing him underhand softballs.
Was he screaming at the pitcher for striking him out? Like he was screaming in Rob Manfred's face?
I don't know. I think he took it in stride.
Okay. But
yeah. It's always kind of amazing.
So the trade deadline, of course, is tomorrow. We'll talk to Barry Zwarluga a little bit later on what the Nats might do. Could they trade Mackenzie Gore?
Finnegan, bye-bye.
Kyle Finnegan.
I would expect him to be packing his bags.
Mike Soroka, who pitched yesterday, maybe he goes. They've already made one small deal, but it's not like they got a ton of guys that teams would want.
The Nats have a Soroka and a Sikora? That's
Mike
weird.
Soroka, yep.
Because Sikora is the dude who has who's scheduled now for Tommy John surgery, the number one prospect.
Yes.
Yep.
It's been a brutal year for the Nats.
Yeah.
I mean, very little has gone right for the Nats in 2025.
Yeah. You'll see Soroka again, 27. Yeah. Right? Next year, or 26.
Sikora.
Soroka, he's like a one and doneer. He will not be on the roster next season.
But we'll see what happens with some of these teams that are looking to buy. A lot of these teams are looking to just kind of bolster the back end of their bullpen. Some teams need another starter. Some teams need a corner infielder with some power. Hasn't been any really major deals yet. We'll kind of see what happens today and then tomorrow before the deadline. But we'll see what the Nats do, and we'll talk to Barry about that. I was reading on CBS Sports, they ranked the 10 biggest wild cards entering the season in the NFL.
Mm.
All right, so
wild card players or
no,
teams?
No, just kind of,
teams that could go
position
either way.
Okay. Battles right. or offenses or defenses or just wild cards.
All right.
Uncertainties.
All right, what do you got? Are we in there? Do we have anything that we're in there?
No. All right. Number one, the Cincinnati Bengal defense.
Oh, they were horrific last year.
Yeah. I mean, they've got
if they had
the
any
offense.
Help, they would have been a playoff team.
Now they're gonna get Trey Henderson back. We already talked about that. They finally signed Shamar Stewart a couple days ago. So the Bengals defense, who they tried to address in the draft and free agency, that's number one.
By the way, some of the early returns on Shamar Stewart, I understand he just started camp.
Yeah.
Said he was moving like a glacier in some of the drills.
Just
looked slow.
Oh, no.
And I he's had a long layoff, so it's going to take him a little bit of time to get up to speed. But the early returns—that's
not great.
We're not promising.
Yeah.
But again, he just got to camp. I'll give him some slack.
All right. Number two, Justin Fields.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he fares. Starting quarterback this year, no question.
He does get to pair up with Garrett Wilson, who he threw balls to at Ohio State.
Yep. Garrett Wilson was making some great plays yesterday when they were covering Jets camp. He's just good, man. Garrett Wilson's legit.
Yeah.
I want to get him on one of my teams. All right, number three, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, totally.
All right.
He could go either way.
It's a big question mark. Of course, last year, his touchdown-to-pick rate was 10-7 for the first seven games. Last 10 games, 18-4. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Passer rating went up by about 15 points. So we'll see what happens there. Ben Johnson, the new Chicago Bears coach.
Totally agree.
Told Caleb Williams he wants him to complete 70% of his passes.
Oh, that's I don't know if that's going to happen.
That's a big number there.
By the way,
for a second-year QB.
They were trying some of their trick plays, I guess, in camp, and it went viral because it looked like, this is an old reference, it looked like a Benny Hill video from way back in the day when they sped up the characters. I know that's an old reference.
Mm-hmm.
It was not going swimmingly. I think it's taking a little bit of time for everybody to adjust to Ben Johnson in Chicago.
He should work on the basic plays a little more.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We saw what happened against the Commanders. He got too cute, tried to show every trick play that he had. One of them, the reverse pass that was picked off. And he got away from just handing the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs, which was working really well for him.
I think Jahmyr Gibbs was averaging like 9.5, 10 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Johnson, in all of his genius, said, I don't want to keep getting 9 yards per carry with Jahmyr Gibbs. That's boring.
Yeah, let me have my receiver pass.
I need some flair in this offense.
What an idiot.
That was my guy.
So big, big question mark there. Five is the Texans' offensive line. Of course, they lost Tunsil here to Washington. Still have three starters from last year, but C.J. Stroud was sacked 52 times last year. They fired their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick. So we'll see what happens with their offensive line. Number six, the Dallas Cowboys. Just the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. New coach.
Big question mark.
All right, Dak is back. They did acquire George Pickens. Micah Parsons going through the contract issues, but, you know, he's obviously going to play. But they're chasing the Philadelphia Eagles. Number seven, J.J. McCarthy. Vikings were 14-3 last year with a different quarterback.
Didn't McCarthy throw five pickles in one afternoon of training camp?
I did see that.
That made me raise an eyebrow.
But he is back to full strength. He is back to full strength.
Yeah.
Look, he's basically a rookie, so there's going to be some question marks. The 49ers wide receiver room.
It does have a lot of question marks there, no doubt.
Ayuk is still hurt. Debo is gone. Ricky Pearsall was just brought off the pup.
Didn't Juwan Jennings just tweak his calf?
Just hurt his calf
and
yesterday.
He wants
a new deal.
A readjusted deal.
Now, I can see that being like a minor calf issue. Mm-hmm. Just saying, you know what? I'm going to sit out.
Right.
There's no sense in injuring my calf if I don't have a new contract, which he wants. The Denver Broncos offense in general, pretty good last year. I mean, Bo Nix had some really good numbers.
They add Evan Ingram at tight end. Mm-hmm. They draft R.J. Harvey. Should upgrade the running game. Like, that's a team that could make some noise in the AFC West.
10 wins last year. They re-signed or extended Cortland Sutton. We talked about it yesterday. So let's see what happens with their offense. And then number 10, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, there's some question marks on some, you know, younger quarterbacks and some teams that have different coaches. Some units. There's some teams that have veteran quarterbacks that have changed teams, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll see. But no question marks for the Washington Commanders in the top 10.
That's fantastic.
There you go.
I have questions, but I mean, I'm optimistic, but there's no question marks.
Well, if you got questions, we have Coach Quinn on the show at 8 o'clock.
Nice plug, JP.
I got those.
You don't want to miss Coach Dan Quinn joining us at 8 o'clock here on the Junkies. Remember, you can always text the fan on the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza's local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners.
I have some leftover Lido Pizza in my freezer. Maybe that'll be my lunch today.
Nice. And go to LidoPizza.com.
It's got the thick pepperonis on it. Oh, so good.
You can go to LidoPizza.com to find out their locations. And, of course, you can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. During the break, we were talking about one of Linnell's tweets. You can go to Linnell Willingham's Twitter. He is at Nell_BTP.
Mm-hmm.
And he is questioning Josh Connerly and his speed.
Well,
and whether he's light on his feet or not.
His footwork. Well, I thought that's what his claim to fame was. That was his big thing, right?
He was very athletic.
I mean, I remember them showing the video of him popping up for a big guy. It seemed pretty amazing.
Right. That's supposed to be his thing. Now, what jumped out at me was kind of the youthfulness of him and maybe the relative inexperience. But for him to be essentially trashing his footwork and saying he's basically slow, that's a little alarming. Let's see.
He went all caps with underwhelmed by the Commanders' first round pick, talking about giving up pressures, three straight pressures to Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
People still do all caps. That's still a
thing.
He did. I didn't know that's still a thing.
I mean, his tweet is
the younger set.
He admits, all caps. It's early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But after the first week of practice, he's a little all caps underwhelmed by the first round pick.
Throughout the first 4 days of camp,
that has been underwhelming, is how I would describe it. It's Josh Connerly Jr., Washington's first round pick. I mentioned Javonte Jean-Baptiste was having a day. He was having a day versus Josh Connerly. Three straight pressures. Javonte Jean-Baptiste had just off of running the hoop. The one thing that I've noticed about Josh Connerly since watching him in the team drills, and it's honestly stunning to me because this is the opposite of what he was billed as coming out of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
He's got heavy feet. He's not moving tremendously well when it comes to one-on-one pass rush situations and then watching him try and get out in space on screens. Now, it's early. So early, right? We're not even in full pads yet. So do not ring the alarm. I'm not. Do not ring the alarm yet.
You kind of are.
On Josh Connerly Jr., but I will say this. Throughout the first couple of practices, he's been a little bit underwhelming. Now, going back to OTAs and minicamp, the feet and hands always in sync. He's a superb technician. But to me, I'm concerned because he's losing against speed. I thought he'd lose against power early on because the play strength was something that we all knew he needed to get better at coming out of college. But through the first couple of practices, and the book is still out, the jury's still open, right? I'm not casting him off, not writing him off, but I've been underwhelmed to this point.
I think it's fair to be underwhelmed, but you're definitely raising the alarm. You're definitely ringing the alarm.
Now, it's first week of training camp. I'm not going to kill a 21-year-old who was picked at the end of the first round if he's not flashing every, you know, training camp practice yet.
Although Josh Simmons, who the Chiefs took out of Ohio State, late first round, is the bomb so far.
Right.
Now, he's a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching, like I've been watching NFL training camp live.
Yeah.
And they were covering the Chiefs camp yesterday. All they talked about were Josh Simmons.
Just raving about him.
Yeah. They talked a lot about and how he was kind of dominating the veteran defensive ends for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Maybe it takes him some time, which you're fine. I mean, Wiley might start at the beginning of the season. I know a lot of people would love to see the rookie start in week one. Maybe he's going to be somebody that's going to take a little time.
He might be more of a project than people thought.
He might be, but I just refuse to believe that he's got heavy feet. His athleticism score at the combine was 82. That was seventh overall. I actually refuse to believe that.
You think Linnell's lying?
No, I think he might be wrong.
I mean, it's his opinion.
I don't think he's lying. I don't think
for a second. What do you mean he's wrong?
What's his observation?
His observation might
just be
incorrect.
You think his observation's off?
Might just be, in that instance, he got beat. That doesn't mean I refuse now he is going to believe against, that he has slow feet.
He's going against NFL ballers. That's all I can tell you. So he might look a little slower against NFL guys.
He's inexperienced. He's playing veteran guys. There's a learning curve. I'm just telling you, the guy ran a 5.40. He had a 35-inch vertical. His kind of claim to fame is his feet. I refuse to believe that all of a sudden he's a heavy-footed, like, you know. I just refuse to believe
that. He's adjusting to the speed of NFL defensive linemen.
I don't doubt he's getting smoked. Don't doubt that. I doubt that he has, he inherited bad feet from his parents or something. You know, I just don't believe it. Sorry. He might be right, and I could be 100% wrong. But on the face of it, coming on, I just don't believe it. He might be the worst draft pick in the history of the league. That's possible.
Well, let's hope that's not the case.
But I don't believe that he has slow feet because he's just tested too well.
No one's saying he's the worst draft pick ever, but I'm just Linnell's saying he's at the camp, he's watching it occur, and he's getting beat by speed rushers that aren't really doing any kind of move on
him. That could just be learning curve. He's just getting juked or, you know, he's in his head. I don't know what it could be. But
he's still learning the playbook.
I refuse to believe he doesn't have God-gifted quick feet.
And just because you start off terrible doesn't mean you're terrible.
I agree.
Right now, after a couple days of practice, Linnell doesn't believe he looks good.
Which is possible. That is totally fair.
Right.
The observation that I refuse to believe, though, is that he has God-given slow feet. That I don't believe. That's the only part I'm picking a nit with. So I am.
Well, or they took the wrong tackle.
I mean, that's...
And they should have taken Josh Simmons.
That could certainly be the case.
They could have taken the wrong tackle.
Yeah.
But...
I'm with you. I mean, it's early.
Wasn't Simmons injured, too, like that?
Pushed him down.
I think that was a big part of it.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I've heard two sides pretty much every day on camp. Because yesterday, J.P. Finley said that Jaden Daniels and the offense, they were looking great.
Mm-hmm.
Then John Keim reported He does the daily updates on ESPN.com. He said the defense has just they've been on top of the offense.
No, he said the defense had another better day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The he said especially in the pass game.
Yeah. He said it's obvious they need Terry.
So, I mean, it kind of depends on who you're asking, who you're talking to.
Eye of the beholder.
Eye of the beholder. 100%.
All right, remember, we've got Dan Quinn, head coach of your Washington Commanders, joining us at 8 o'clock. Bears Verluga on the Nationals and the trading deadline. Will they trade Mackenzie Gore? He'll join us at 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.